And I think part of what the Lord wants me to talk about today is going to help you. It's really going to help you. Because a lot of what we're dealing with in our lives, it's about the blessing and the curse. You know, it's so beautiful because we were singing that song, God, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. You know, I live in Israel now, and Israel is a very agricultural society. This whole Bible is, there's so much symbolism about agriculture. Everything's about agriculture. It's about, you know what, rain is a symbol of the blessing.
Amen.
When it rains, we're like, well, I know y'all in California are blessing God for sure when it rains. Yeah, same with us in Israel, because I live in the desert. I live in the desert, and when it rains, we're just like, hallelujah, thank you, Father. Things come to life. And so part of this blessing that we're looking for is it's breaking off things in our lives that is not, it's not God's best. Because how many know we carry things in our lives that are not God's best? We walk in ways that are not God's best. And even sometimes, sadly to say, there's curses on our lives. There's curses, and they could be curses that come from a result of things we've done. It could be even curses that come from our generational family lines that we're not even aware of. But God knows. And thank God he wants to set us free.
Amen.
You know, Israel is God's example. And it really, you know, if my life stands also as an example, I'm Israel, hello. But your life is an example too, because y'all are grafted in. But the whole way that we walk in the blessings of God is by applying the Word of God and his Holy Spirit, you know, with the help of the Spirit. That's the bottom line, right? You know, this is our... I mean, can you imagine? It's really hard for me. I've been to Africa so many times. I've led so many people to the Lord, and they don't have Bibles. They want the Word so badly. They're so hungry, and they don't have it. So let's not take it for granted that we have it. Because don't let it just sit on the shelf and collect dust, because this is a lifesaver for us. It's our strength, and it's our food, and it's our nourishment. You know, in it, we read stories of how God dealt with the children of Israel. And I love the book of Deuteronomy. You know, sometimes we look at the Deuteronomy as this boring, boring, boring book of laws and rules and more laws. But really, in fact, Deuteronomy teaches us how to be married to God. That's what it's full of, instructions on how to be married to God. How many here know they're married to the Lord? Right? We are the bride of Christ. Hopefully. Hopefully we're a loving bride and not a some rebellious wench. I don't want to be a rebellious wench. I want to be the submissive, loving, obedient wife who's a crown to her husband.
Yeah.
You know, a crown. And you know the beautiful thing? It's like as we're walking with the Lord, he's always taking us deeper. Deeper levels of obedience. Deeper levels of submission. And in his word, I was just kind of glancing at this morning, and I just want to encourage you, in your own time, just read from Deuteronomy 25 through 30. Just read that and just see how God is really reaching out to Israel. And, you know, Deuteronomy 28 specifically talks about all the ways to be blessed. I'm going to look at 28. Let's just read a little bit of 28. We'll start at verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now, if you faithfully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all his commands I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will put you far above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come and overtake you because you obey the Lord your God. Right? So blessings are tied to obedience. Blessings are really tied to obedience. And then God goes on to say, sadly, it's the opposite to, oh, I thought of a Hebrew word. That was so weird. You know, I'm learning Hebrew right now in Israel. That's my number one task as a missionary to the Jewish people. Ha'efech. That just came in my brain. That means the opposite. My brain is like, I'm having a little trouble with English these days because all these Hebrew words are in there. Ha'efech. Zeh. No, I'm sorry. I won't confuse you. The opposite is. So down in verse 15, but if you do not obey the Lord your God by carefully following all his commands and statutes I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overtake you. There's laws that are set in place, spiritual laws, that sadly, we get saved and we think we got this super pass and we can just do whatever we want and we're just okay because of the blood of Jesus. But let me tell you, that's not true. Yes, we're okay because of the blood of Jesus and we're saved and we're going to get to heaven and it's all good that respect. But our lives may still be cursed because we're not obeying the fullness of the laws of God. So, you know, this is it's a narrow road, because Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't abolish it. The law still exists, you know, and most of these laws, I mean, most of our judicial system and the laws of our society come from these laws. They're there to protect us. They're not there as some kind of evil imposition that says, you must obey me and be my slave. You know, it's not. We've twisted even what the word law is. The word in Hebrew is really just instruction. You know, it's instructions. Like in my book, Messianic Bible Study, I say Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, it's just what the Bible is. It's our instruction book. So, you know, yeah, I encourage you to read Deuteronomy. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. You know, we, Israel, the Jewish people, we were created to be an example. And that's why the book, we do all the good, bad, and the ugly. Nobody on earth needs to watch soap operas. They just need to read the Bible, right? You don't need to watch that stuff. Just read the Word, because we just really made a mess of things. But, you know, what we were supposed to be was we were supposed to be people who walked in the blessings of God and be a light to the nations. That's what God called us to be. He said, if you will do this, this is what you'll be blessed and you'll be a light to the nations. So now we as the church have that same opportunity. We have the opportunity. We've seen how Israel messed up. Okay, let's not repeat their mistakes. So we have the opportunity now to walk in the blessings of God and be a light to the nations. And it's just fascinating to me, you know, God has changed our hearts. He's turned our hearts from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And what we really need to be able to fulfill this calling to be blessed and to be a light is humility. You know, we just need humility. God, I don't know about you, but I'm so prideful. I've always been prideful. You know, I just think I'm all that in a bag of chips. And the Lord's like, he's taught me some hard ways. But humility is just so beautiful, because in being humble and seeking after God and desiring to be obedient no matter what the cost, who are we following? We're following Jesus. That's who he was. I mean, he was God who denied that glory that he was deserved. And he was willing to humble himself to death on the cross. I mean, that is just so beautiful now that we have this role model that we can look to. Say, Lord, I want to be just like you. That's what Ephesians calls us to. Paul calls us to that in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. He says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Be imitators. So we remember that. We remember Jesus as our role model. We humble ourselves. And we're like, okay, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, expose it. You know, expose it. That I'm not going to say, you know, that I've got it all right and that I know it all, because I don't. I mean, this is such a journey of learning for all of us. All of us are on a journey. Until we're out of here, we're learning. Right. You know, until we're out of here, we're growing and we're learning. And I believe it's like layers of an onion that are being peeled off of us. From humanity, you know, from the sin nature and from our family. And more of, this was a really fun, I'm just going to interject this quickly, because when I left to go with Jews for Jesus for 3 years and I came back to the church, they'd done a photo directory while I was gone. And I came back and everybody looked younger than they did in the photo directory. And I'm like, how did that happen? And then the Lord showed me it's because they have more of eternal life in them. Less of them and more of eternal life. It was just so beautiful. And even now, I saw Ed and Linda Sunday morning. I'm like, you guys haven't changed in 20 years. I'm like, it's amazing. But that's what God is doing in us. He's removing more of us so that more of him can live in us. And it's so beautiful. So I have a whole list of things that I love to talk about when I travel and I speak in churches. And one of them is breaking generational curses, you know? And so Patrice asked me if I would talk about that on this trip. And I love Derek Prince. Do y'all know who Derek Prince is? You met him?
Yes.
I've only been to his grave. It's in Jerusalem. He's buried in Jerusalem, you know?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's buried. Him and Ruth are both buried in Jerusalem. But he has a great, I just think God has given him so much wisdom on breaking generational curses. So a lot of this comes from his teaching. And if you want to sign up for my monthly e-newsletter over there on the shelf, on the table, I'll send you a link to the actual teaching that I was listening to. But what he says, it's so beautiful. Blessings and curses are vehicles of supernatural power, either for good or for evil. And very frequently, like I said earlier, they're carried on from generation to generation until somebody knows how to cut them off. How many here want to cut off the curses today? Yeah, me too. Because I'm telling you, there's things that I'm seeing in my life just from listening to this teaching. There's some more things the Lord wants to deal with. So the vehicles of the blessings and curses are usually words. You know, they're usually words spoken, written, or even words that we pronounce to ourselves inwardly. You know, we speak things inside of our hearts that can curse us. And they can all, curses can also be, or bless, or no, this is curses and can be transmitted by objects too. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, you know, objects in your home. But in Deuteronomy 28, there's 14 verses about the blessings, and then there's 54 verses about curses. Ouch. So we really need to study this, and we need to really apply what God's word says. There's 7 results of your life being blessed. And I love each one of these. And Lord, let us all see these. So this is just comes from Deuteronomy 28. That's why I want you all to read this on your own. But the 7 things that come from being blessed. Number one, you're going to be exalted. You're going to be lifted up. You're not going to live under things. Number two, you're going to be reproductive. You're going to be fruitful in every area of your life. Number three, you're going to be healthy. You know, when you're blessed, you're healthy. Number four, you're going to have prosperity. You know, you're going to have success at the things you put your hands to. Number five, you're going to have victory. You're going to overcome the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, number six, you're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to be a decision maker. You're not going to get dragged around by circumstances and forces that you don't understand. You're not going to be controlled by other things that you don't know what that is. And number seven, you're going to be above and not beneath. You know, the Holy Spirit is really the only one that knows what's really going on in our lives. You know, we live it, we walk it, but we're just people. We're just sheep. You know, we're kids. You know, we're children. And I had the most amazing experience. Sonia was there to see this one. I had been a missionary in Africa, and I was on the field for many years. And I went with her to a prayer meeting when I was visiting her one time. We went out to Redlands to some friends of hers, and it was a fun little prayer meeting. And I thought, I was, you know, I'm like Miss Missionary, you know, and I'm that, all that in a bag of chips, you know. I'm here to pray for everybody, blah, blah, blah. And there was this beautiful woman there, and it was really quite astounding because this woman had some, this is Beverly, she had this disease where she shook. And she shook all the time, and it was really kind of hard for her to talk because of whatever was going on in her physical body. But then the Spirit of the Lord would come upon her, and she'd get still, and that word would be the... So Beverly just stops in her tracks. We're sitting there praying. She looks at me. She goes, Rana, you have secret chambers in your heart that you haven't let me into. And I'm like, oh, that hurts. That hurts. And it was like, I didn't really even know what to do with that. But I went home. I was living in Phoenix at the time. I went home and I just sat on my couch. And I said, okay, Lord, shine light into my heart. Shine light into any secret chambers that may be in my heart. I give you permission to come in and shine your light in any darkness that's in me. And it was so beautiful, you know, because he started showing me things from my childhood, things that Like, for example, my parents always fought in the home. They always argued. They were always arguing, always fighting. What the Lord showed me, because they always argued and fought, that is why I, as a young person, made the choices to look for love outside of the family unit. And that's what got me all into drugs and promiscuity and that whole sinful lifestyle. And it was so beautiful, because as soon as the Lord showed me that and I was able to verbalize it, I journaled the whole thing, it was like I was healed. It was like I didn't have to do anything. All I had to do was let him in, shine light in the darkness, journal it, and it's like the healing came. It was really painless and simple. You know, all it really amounted to was having intimacy with the Lord. I love the word intimacy. Into me see. Let him see into me. Lord, you know what? I want you to know me. Because what does Jesus say in Matthew 7? He says, depart from me. I never knew you. God forbid that that happens to anyone. I really believe we have to cultivate intimacy with the Lord to be right with him and to really be his bride, right? Because who wants to have a bride that you're not intimate with? It's like, forget about that. But it's so I think even this whole process of walking out generational blessings and curses, it's just really about being intimate with the Lord. You know, and sitting with him, cultivating that time, taking the time, Lord, speak to me about what things you want to heal in my life. You know, here's seven of the evidences of the curses. This is just the opposite of the blessings. So curses, you're going to be humiliated, you know. You're going to be barren. You're going to have, there's going to be a failure to reproduce. Sicknesses of every kind. Poverty or failure, defeat. You're the tail and not the head. You're beneath and not above. We're not supposed to be under our circumstances. Now, there's seven real indications that you're probably under a curse, but don't take my word for this. This is the Lord's territory. He's the one that has to show us if there's a curse in our lives. And this is, like I said, this is all about spending time with him, being really intentional, taking the time, and asking the Lord and really walking out that real intimate relationship as the bride of Christ. These are signs of a curse. Mental or emotional breakdowns where people just fall apart. Repeated or chronic sicknesses, especially those that are hereditary or where doctors can't find the cause. Female problems. Barrenness or tendency to miscarry or problems with your menstrual cycle, those have all been found to be really a problem of a curse. This is the one that the Lord wants to deal with me now. Breakdown of marriage and family alienation. When I got to that, I'm like, oh my goodness, my family is so broken. I've never been married, but my siblings and my parents, I mean, the enemies just come in and just, We're so broken apart. So that's the one I'm gonna really come against, that curse, even today as we pray later. So financial insufficiency is a curse, can be a curse. Poverty for a short time may be a test God's putting us through, you know. But if you're always short and always scraping through, it may be the sign of a curse. If you're accident prone, you may be under some kind of a curse. And a history of suicide or unnatural deaths in your family, that may be a curse too. So, like I said earlier, there's a couple root causes of the blessings and curses. We read the one in Deuteronomy 28. This is the blessings in verses 1 and 2. I'm going to say it again because it's so beautiful. The primary cause of all the blessings, if we faithfully obey the Lord our God and are careful to follow all his commands. You know, so if we're diligent to listen to the voice of the Lord, if we're diligent, the Hebrew word is shema, and shema in Hebrew means not just listen, but it's also obey. Listen and obey. It's not just hear. You know, God forbid we be hearers of the word, but not doers, right? God forbid. We've got to do what the word says. And obviously, we talked about this earlier, the primary cause of the curses is not listening to God's voice. You know, not doing what he says. Oh my goodness. Now this really puts the fear of God into me, but I think it's good for us to have the fear of the Lord. Let's turn to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, it's the Ten Commandments, if you don't know what's in Exodus 20. Yep. And the first, verses 3-6 are what I'm going to look at. Exodus 20, verses 3-6. So God first, let's see, verse 3, Exodus 20. Do not have any other gods beside me. Do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heavens above or on the earth below or in the water under the earth. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for their father's sin to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You know, breaking the first two commandments is a primary cause of curses in our lives. But I love the fact that God, he's so loving, right? He extends the blessing way further than the curses. That just shows a little bit about his character. And oh, I just love him so much. But what's really provocative to me in that little chapter, I mean, in those verses, this, you know, do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heavens and the earth or in the waters above the earth. You must not bow down to them and worship them. Whatever source you go to get things that you should go to God for, those are idols. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we do it all the time. We do it with food. We do it with people. We do it with drugs and alcohol. You know, then there's people who do it with fortune tellers and horoscopes and Ouija boards and all those kind of things. But we really have to be careful, even in the church, you know, because there are things that become idols. You know, our spouses can become idols. You know, our kids can become idols. Our work can become an idol. It's what God always has to be the go-to for everything that we need. Otherwise, we're going to come under a curse. That's what it says. So, and these curses, this is what is so bizarre. Scripture says these curses come from God himself. If something comes from God, you know it's going to work. It's like, whoa, that's really scary. But Deuteronomy 7 goes on. When you go and you study this on your own, Deuteronomy 7 has a whole list of things that bring curses. From verses 15 to 23, and some of the things that bring curses upon us from the Lord are idolatry, disrespect for parents. When you don't honor your parents, you'll be cursed. Treachery against a neighbor brings a curse. Injustice to the weak or the helpless. You know, that even unfortunately applies, you know, to abortion.
That's right.
You know? Yeah.
Did you say Deuteronomy chapter 7?
27. Oh, chapter 27, verses 15, all the way through 26. There's so much in there. More that brings curses, any kind of illicit or unnatural sex. You know, the word says that's going to be a curse. Then in Genesis 12, the Lord also, he's speaking to Abraham in Genesis 12, verses, get to Genesis 12, 1 through 3, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, this is another source of curses. The Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. This is Genesis 12, verse 2. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. So in this little passage, God is showing us that it's God has singled out Abraham, and he's blessed Abraham. But because Abraham now is blessed by God, there's a tendency that he can be the target of all kinds of demonic forces. Anti-Semitism is a demonic force. Yeah. It's a demonic force. And if we operate in anti-Semitism, we will be cursed. That's what the Word of God says. That's the Word of God says. If we bless Abraham, we'll be blessed. And if we curse him, he will be cursed. And let me just say this. When I went through my first, like, real deliverance session, when I was in Phoenix and I was with my pastor's wife and some friends, and they prayed for deliverance for me as a Jew, guess what the last spirit to come out of me was? It was a spirit of anti-Semitism. This is a spirit. It manifested in me as just a hatred for the Jewish people. I had a contempt. I didn't like Jewish people. And for me as a Jew, it would be self-hatred. It would manifest then as self-hatred. And it really caused my life to not be blessed. And it was so beautiful when the Lord delivered me from it. Because I remember I've been to Israel many times, you know, under this spirit. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, whatever, these Jewish people. And then the next time I went to Israel, I was looking at all the people. And I'm like, I love you. I have such compassion for you. You know, before I was like, you need to get saved. You need to know that, you know, you're Messiah. But then when I was delivered from that spirit, the love of God was able to enter into my heart for my people. It's like, so yeah, the spirit, and as someone also, this is what's really kind of scary, as someone who's traveled the church, you know, all over, that spirit is rampant in the church. It's rampant. And it's something we really need to pray for the church for, to be free of the spirit of anti-Semitism, because it's going to bring a curse. It's like, ah! So another source of curses is Jeremiah 17. This is still curses that proceed from God. So Jeremiah 17, starting at verse 5. This basically teaches that, I'm just going to overview this. This teaches that cursed is a man who trusts in man over God. That's what that, so yeah, if we trust in men, and I've had to deal with that one too. I think I've had to deal with all of these. I was like, God, you're so faithful though that he shows us these things. And then because you know why he shows us? So he can set us free. You know, that's why we just have to be humble and be like little children. Because he just wants to bless us. But he has these rules and laws in place. And there's things in our lives that are robbing us, keeping us from experiencing the blessing. So we just have to let him do whatever he wants to do. There's so many scriptures here regarding God's, you know, when God sends a curse. So anybody who steals or commits perjury, the Lord's going to curse them. Their house is going to disintegrate. You know, anybody who robs God is going to be cursed. There's other sources of curses too. And in Joshua 6 verse 26, we see Joshua imposing a curse. And so scripture shows us that men then who speak on behalf of God can also impose curses. So you've got God imposing curses. You've got men who are speaking on behalf of God. Then we've all experienced this, I'm sure. People with relational authority over us. Authority comes from God, right?
Yes.
But so if you're in authority over someone, you can actually curse them. And I mean, I had a teacher when I was in middle school, and she said something horrible to me, and it brought a curse on my life. She had authority over me as a teacher. She spoke negative words over my life that tormented me for years and years and years and years. So parents, just beware. You have relational authority over your kids, and you can actually curse them with your words. It's just so... Oh, it's just so scary. Then we can also have self-imposed curses. We can make negative statements over ourselves. You know, we say, I wish I were dead. Guess what that is?
Yeah.
It's a curse. You're inviting the spirit of death into your life.
Wow. Come on now.
That's what you're doing. Then there's unscriptural covenants. These are sources of curses. And in Exodus 23:32, we read about this. If you make a covenant with people who have false gods, you're making a covenant with their gods. Perfect example of this is Freemasonry.
Yes.
You know, if you make a covenant, if you join that cult, you're going to come under a curse. It breaks my heart, but 9 times out of 10, when I see a family that's riddled with sickness, I ask them, do you have Freemasons in your family? And they say yes, 9 times out of 10. Tribal rituals can bring you under a curse, satanic practices, visiting witch doctors, witchcraft, voodoo. You know, the enemy has power. And when we go to these things, we're giving that power authority over us. Deuteronomy 7:26 says, occult items in our homes can bring curses. If we have something associated with idolatry in our homes, it can open up a way for a curse to come into our home. And we really need to look through our homes and say, Lord, help me see if there's anything in here that advertises another God other than Jesus Christ. We really need to, I mean, it's in movies, occult movies. If you have occult movies in your home, that's a portal for a curse. Anything demonic is a portal for a curse. Occult objects, secular music, photographs, video games, superstitious items, even horseshoes, you know, things like that. And we really need to go through our houses from top to bottom and ask the Lord to reveal things that the enemy may be using to bring curses. You know, even for some of us who do a lot of traveling, we may go to Africa and bring home some of those masks. Yeah. You know, those masks are for voodoo and for witchcraft. And so many of the things we buy overseas were created as idols. So we bring that home as a fun trinket, and we've just invited an idol into our home. And the word says that then our home is open to curses. Something so important. You know, the great thing is we have been given the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy so that nothing can hurt us. You know, we have been given authority to revoke, take back, put an end to the negative things in our lives that we've spoken over ourselves, and we've been given the authority to replace it with the positive. In 2015, I was on the mission field again, and I was sick. Oh my goodness, I was so sick. I was sick for so much of that year, and to the, I just didn't know if I was going to make it. I really thought I was going to die. And my roommate at the time, we were in Phoenix, and she got asked to speak at a youth retreat. And the Lord led her into this beautiful teaching about lies that we believe. And she taught the youth, and she was practicing on us before the youth retreat. And so she shared the message with us. And what she shared with us was that you have 30 seconds. When a thought enters your mind, you have 30 seconds to do something with it. If you do nothing with that thought, it automatically goes to your heart and becomes a belief. And you can't get rid of it. You have to, you know, and as she's sharing that, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, no wonder the Lord says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And then I started thinking about, you know, I'm so sick, and all the thoughts that I had been entertaining that year, Rana, you're going to die. God doesn't want to heal you. God doesn't care about you. And it was just like I saw this movie playing out of all these lies that the enemy had been putting into my mind, but I'd been doing nothing with them. I just kind of let them float on down and go into my heart, and they caused me to be super sick. So I sat again with the Lord, and I'm going, okay, Lord, I got a little tiny notebook, one of these 88-cent things from Walmart. It was like super cheap. But it's like what the Lord did with this notebook is like infinitely so expensive. And I just sat there with the Lord. Okay, Lord, show me the lies I've been believing. And I think he gave me like 12 lies. And after every lie, he combated it with the word of God, the truth in the word. So I'd write the lie, and then he would tell me, okay, but here's the truth. And I would write out the scripture. Flip the page. Okay, here's the lie. Here's the truth, the word. Save, like, I did that. I mean, I probably, again, this is kind of like my situation on the couch. It was like once I did the exercise, the deliverance came. It wasn't a hard thing for the Lord. It was the same thing here. I did this little exercise with a little booklet, and I mean, I was healed.
Amen.
It was like, oh my goodness, Lord, it was so easy. But I just had to recognize that I'd been believing these lies, and he had to flip it around so that I believe the truth. And it was kind of the same thing. It was a breaking off of a curse of my life. It was so beautiful to see God do that in such a very, it was just a very real way. So when there's a walking out process that, going back to Derek Prince's message, I want to just share this process of how he walks out deliverance from curses, so that our lives can be walking in the blessings of God. And the first thing he says is we have to establish a clear scriptural basis for our release. So there's tons of scriptures. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Let's look there. Galatians 3. God eats popcorn. I still say that. Does Pastor still say that? Yeah. God eats popcorn. It's still in my brain every time. I'm still there. Galatians 3, 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because it is written, everyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. Jesus took the curses. They don't belong to us. He took them all on himself. And what a beautiful promise. What a beautiful promise. Ephesians 1:7. I'm going to kind of pop around here. Ephesians 1:7. We have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. I love the word. You just read it and it makes you feel good. It's like, oh.
A relief.
Right? Yes. Let's see. The next one I have written down here is Colossians 1. Colossians. God eats popcorn. Eats popcorn. Colossians 1. I didn't go to Sunday school as a kid, you know, and learn all the order of the books of the Bible. So thank God for Pastor teaching us how to find these books. Colossians 1:12. Come on, eyes work in Jesus' name. Okay. Well, I'm going to go back to 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. For all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light.
Amen.
Wow, we have an amazing inheritance, you know. What Jesus did on the cross, I'm convinced that we will for eternity be learning about what Jesus accomplished on the cross.
Yes.
I believe that we just really don't understand it, but I can't wait to learn to continue as my life goes on in this world and the next world, just to learn more about what he truly accomplished. I mean, I've seen it in my life. You know, the first thing I know, I was in the kingdom of darkness. I mean, I was dark. If you see pictures, I was like all goth and just crazy dark. And God, he took me from that kingdom of darkness and put me into the kingdom of light.
Amen.
He took me from sin and put me in righteousness. He took me from evil and put me in goodness and changed my heart so that I could want righteousness and I could want goodness. And then he gives me authority. You know, he gives all of us this authority to trample on the snakes and scorpions and all the powers of the devil so that it won't hurt us. That's Luke 10:19. He gives us authority. It's like just so beautiful what he's accomplished. There's another scripture I have here written down. 1 John 3. Verses 2 through 8. Let's see what that says. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. I'm just going to stop there. That's verse 3. Yes, Lord, we are desiring to be purified and to, so these are some of the scriptures. So rewinding again, so we're talking about how to be free from the curses. So the first thing is to establish a clear scriptural basis for your release. So these are just some of the scriptures. I mean, you can go through the Bible and find millions of scriptures, you know, about why whom the Son's forgiven is forgiven much. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. I mean, there's just so many scriptures that where the Word talks about our inheritance being the blessings of God and not the curses. So once we've seen these scriptures, we establish, number two is we will establish that, we'll just confess Christ as our high priest. He is our high priest, right? He's finished the work. He's done the work. He took our sickness. He took our sin. He took the curses on the cross on him. It is finished.
Amen.
It is finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, number three is not so easy. Number three, we have to commit ourselves to obedience. We have to make up our minds to listen to what God says about all this and do what he says. It's like we can, you know, that's huge. It's huge. Number four, we confess any known sins, either by ourselves or by our ancestors. You know, we're not guilty by our ancestors' sins, but we're affected by them. We're affected by them. And that's where I'm going to be sitting with the Lord and asking him, you know, about this whole broken family thing. What can I do, Lord, to break that curse off my family, to break it off my life? Because I'm really seeing that now that it's not his will. It's not God's will that my family be so broken. You know, maybe God will show us that we're idol worshipers. Actually, that happened on this tour. The Lord showed me something about idolatry in my family line when I first got to America, and I repented and renounced it, and it was so beautiful, the peace that came after that. It's like the enemy, this was fascinating, because I repented and renounced this idolatry from my family line. This was on this tour. And then the enemy tried to come at me with the same thing that he did before I repented and renounced it, but it didn't have any effect. It was amazing. It was really cool. That's so cool. Yeah, that just happened to me now. I love that. So number five, guess what we get to do? Forgive all people. Even yourself. Even yourself. Especially yourself. You know, unforgiveness in our hearts is a barrier to our prayers being heard. And forgiveness isn't it's a decision. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. I choose to forgive.
Yes.
You might not feel it, but just choose to do it. And I promise it's going to be good. It'll be good for you. Another thing we have to do is renounce all contact with the occult. We by ourselves or by our ancestors, we just really can't have any association with anything demonic. And the Lord, I mean, I don't watch R-rated movies. I don't watch them. I can't because it's poison. You know, anything with any kind of witchcraft, I have to turn. Yeah. If anything comes on, I mean, you know, these days you're watching a kid's show and something comes on that's demonic and you're just like, I can't watch that. You know, sadly, because I like cartoons. But yeah, so we just have to renounce anything that has to do with the occult. And we have to, if the Lord shows us any objects, you know, in our homes, we have to get rid of them. Just get rid of them. I remember living here in Paris. I lived at 4th Street. I lived at 4th Street. As part of when I was living here, and the Lord, I think I filled up one of those big giant metal, what are they called? The bins. One of those big metal bins. I had it full of like occult music and books, and we had a fun burning one night. Yeah, I had to burn a lot of stuff. So then once we've met all of these conditions, we can release ourselves in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's simple as that. And then once we release ourselves, we just confess and expect the blessings of Abraham. You know, it's not hard, but it is, you know. There's a lot of things in there. But what we know that through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we've passed out from under the curse and entered into the blessing of Abraham. You know, God, the scripture, we read it, God blessed Abraham in all things.
Right.
In all things. And that's we're heirs of those promises. So, you know, the blessings really come from the Holy Spirit. We have to be friends with him. We have to honor the Holy Spirit. If we don't honor him, guess what? He might withhold some blessings. He has the keys. It's almost like the Holy Spirit could have the keys to God's storehouse. And if we want the treasures of the kingdom of God, we make friends with the Holy Spirit. He's the keeper of the storehouse, you know? And in our fast food microwave society, you have to remember you won't get it all in one night. you know, he won't. It's just not how the kingdom works. Yeah, it is a lifetime. But the cool thing is we do qualify it.
Yes.
We qualify for it. It, you know, we may have been going in a wrong direction, and today we can make a U-turn and start going in the right direction, but we have to keep going in the right direction and making the right confession in order to be the pure and spotless bride, or, and to seek. I mean, it's a life journey. Just like you said, it's a lifelong journey. But it's the journey that Jesus died for us to have victory in. And thank God that he gives us the wisdom and the tools and the word and the spirit. And it's just, yeah, I just love the Lord so much because he didn't leave us the way he found us. Amen? It's like, he didn't leave us the way he found us. He's not going to leave us the way he found us. And we're just on this remarkable journey. So there's a prayer I want to pray, lead you all with. I'm going to lead you all in a prayer, and then I'm going to open it up for questions. If anybody has any questions, you can ask me questions about anything. It doesn't have to be about this. Just, I love answering questions. So I'm just going to pray this prayer of release, and I'll just do little bits, and then you can repeat after me. And we'll just do it that way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So, yeah, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you're the Son of God. And you're the only way to the Father. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And you rose again from the dead. I believe that on the cross you were made a curse. With every curse that was due to me, that I may be redeemed from the curse, and enter into the blessing. Lord, I confess any sins, committed by me, or by my ancestors. I ask your forgiveness. I also forgive every other person whoever harmed me or wronged me. I forgive them as God has forgiven me. I also forgive myself. I renounce all contact with the occult in any form. I commit myself to get rid of contact objects. Now, Lord, having received by faith your forgiveness, with the authority I have as a child of God, I now release myself and those under my authority from any curse over our lives. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare release. I claim it.
I
receive it by faith. In the name of Jesus. Now begin to thank him as a pure expression of your faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for total deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for removing curses from us, for pouring blessings into our lives, God. We praise you. We thank you. We give you honor. We give you worship, God. We thank you, Father, for this is a new day that the Lord has made. This is a new day. It's a new season, God. It's a new day. It's a new season. We give you praise. We stomp on the foot of the enemy. We stomp on the head of the enemy. And we thank you, Lord, that curses over our lives are broken forever. Curses over our families are broken forever because we have faith in you, the curse breaker. You are the curse breaker, Yeshua. You are the curse breaker. We love you, God. We love you. We thank you that we've been called according to your purpose and you're working in and through us for your good pleasure. What God has blessed, no man can curse. God, and we've been called blessed. We've been called blessed as Abraham's heirs, God, and children of God. We are blessed. Father, I pray for my sisters, Lord, that they would be able to recognize the schemes of the enemy and take authority over the schemes of their enemy and see victory and see how you've turned things around beginning today, Lord. Beginning today, things are turning around. Lord, things that the enemy was using, he's not going to be able to use anymore. And I just thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, Father. We give you honor because all honor belongs to you, God. All honor belongs to you. You are a good Father. And we are here today to proclaim your love and all the blessings that flow from your eternal kingdom, God. Thank you, Father, for blessing us so that we can be a blessing. Bless us, Father, so we can be a blessing in all the lives that you call us to touch. Thank you, Father. We love you, God, and we worship you. We love you and we worship you. And we say and pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Hallelujah. God is so good. Well, that's, I'm going to open it up to questions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to open it.
That's okay. That's okay.
Wait a minute.
No, it's all good. I'm like,
yeah.
I love answering questions, and I know.